This is a production of Cornell University.
Time is 4:46. I'm going to call the meeting to order. John, if you please call the roll.
Here.
You're fine. Okay. We will move into approval of the minutes. If everyone can take a look at the September 19th minutes. Yes, Osai. Motion. Say that again. Valentine, is that correct? Perfect. He's a second. We don't need to vote on that. He was excused. Perfect. John, you got that? Thank you. We'll take that as a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's been a second. All in favor? Raise your hand or placard. Wonderful. Any other amendments? There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? Second. All in favor of approving the September 19th minutes, please raise your hand. We have 21, don't we? Oh. All opposed? All abstaining. By a vote of 20-0-1, we approve the minutes.
And I'll be moving into open microphones. If you have members of the community who wish to speak, please come up to the table. We will not be closing the microphone.
We'll be moving into announcements. Cat.
Okay. Is everyone on Slack? Okay. I will get those who are not on. Okay. Jacob. Okay. You guys would have all gotten an email. Check your email. If you have not gotten an email with an invitation to Slack, message me or email me. Also, for those of you who are on Slack, turn on your notifications and also download the phone app. It makes communication really easy. Also, we have sprint planning on Sunday. Very exciting. So it's going to be at noon in the Cookhouse seminar room. If you guys need help, like if you guys don't know where that is, just like, ask me. Ex officio members are not required to come.
That's correct.
Ex officio members are not required to come. Thank you. I'll see you on Sunday.
For context, sprint planning is just like where the whole entire assembly gets together and we talk about initiatives that all of us want to do so that people are like transparent in the initiatives that they want and people can help others out. And it's like also a really great way for like people who are on exec to like help you start planning, charting the path of the people who you need to talk to for your initiative. So it's really great, super beneficial, and helps you get more stuff done. Next, we'll be moving to special projects funding. Mariah. Oh, she can do that from here. From there. Any questions? John.
What is the dollar amount of this?
Wonderful. Any questions? Comments? Concerns? Perfect. Seeing none, we'll move into the byline reports. Julian? Mike, yeah.
Do you mean in terms of like funding students to get through the bureaucracy, or like how the bureaucracy team would manage their like
trips?
Paulina. Masa.
Like they did not have a plan for their debt, like the business, but they did have a plan and have a plan for the finance of the individual to start their
Any other questions or comments? The chair would look favorably on a motion to vote. Has been a motion to vote?
It's not a special project. It's a
Sorry.
Is there a second? There's been a second. All in favor of giving Outdoor Odyssey $2.25, please raise your hand or placard. Someone's gone. Okay. All opposed? All abstaining? By a vote of 20-0-1, we've given Outdoor Odyssey $2.25. Any questions or comments? There's been a motion. Do you have a question or a comment? There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? Seeing a second. Any dissent? No dissent. Okay, we move into voting. All in favor of giving Orientation Steering Committee $10.40, please raise your placard. All opposed? All abstaining? By a vote of 21-0-1, Outdoor Orientation Steering Committee has been given $10.40. Next, we'll move on to approval of the 2019-2020 meeting schedule. Cat. Go there again.
What time is it? 4:45?
Yeah, I'll come at 4:45. Any questions or comments on the meeting schedule? Can you speak into the microphone? Thank you. Yes, Indigo, can you use the mic? We do.
Yeah.
It's been a motion from the second. Any dissent to voting? Seeing no dissent, we'll move into voting. All in favor of approving the 2019-2020 meeting schedule? All opposed? All abstaining? By a vote of 21-0-1, we've approved our meeting schedule. Although we've already been meeting. Ooh, yeah, wow.
Hi. We're so weird.
We're kind of tired today.
Yeah. But. This summer, students, I didn't know the opportunity
Facebook with increased cognitive presence issues, trying to manage communication with professors, etc. So from that, we know that students need a single point of contact to help handle student rights issues, because parental bureaucracy is simply unnavigable. And also, Faculty Advocate would serve as that direct point of contact to refer students to other university offices to help them with their concerns. In addition, obviously, the Student Advocate would log cases in order to help the student assembly identify patterns students are facing in order to better address those issues. So, with that, I'd like to open to questions from you all.
Masa. Yep, good start.
I do have two questions. So, when being undergraduate students have any pre-law background or any of that sort, I do think that a pre-law background is necessary, but I do think that there needs to be an extensive training program that's coordinated with law students as well as offices for the university as well as with all of you, which I think should be created upon the appointment of staff to the office.
Oh, sorry. No, you're not on the speaker's list. It's just, wait your turn. Nick.
Sorry. I've added you.
Hi, I love this idea. I guess my question, though, is with these students,
so the idea of logging cases is to log confidential information, is to log the types of issues that students are facing. So if students come into the same office with repeated kind of line issues, kind of line problems that students are facing theoretically, that would be easier for, let's say, to address that because of collected data, but that doesn't use that in the office of log, like names or anything like that. Like, so you can even just use something that you need to specifically or maybe
Uche, oh, no, Uche, no more. Jacob.
I want to thank you for your work with Yale. ACLU is fantastic. The work that you do there is absolutely much needed on campus. I have some few questions regarding the actual selection process before we move into the election of the first elected student athlete. So there will be the appointment of the remainder of this period by the president of the SA, correct? And it will be confirmed by the SA members, correct?
Yes.
The election will not be held on the same day as other SA races.
No, I believe that my intention on my incentives for those who are down in years is this office to take service to responsible because I see it before you leave.
Yes, I agree. And somewhere you mentioned that you wanted to be a non-partisan, an independent group. Would someone be able to run for student assembly and the student advocate?
I think that the work to do as an SA rep and student advocate would be a little too but I would imagine that that's something that the SA would discuss in deciding to confirm or deny whether it's a good SA
advocate. Thanks. Osai. Thank you, Osai. Kirabel. Can you speak into the microphone?
this is to Article 2. This year, the president, I think this is just somebody who was selected for advocate, and this is advocate in cooperation with the ESA, who are selected to confirm the rest of the positions.
And then in terms of the training program, law students are with supposed to be plus
I think that the information that I have there is in contact with law students, and I have a relationship with the National Lawyer Skills in the law school, and so I would like to get them involved in creating their training process, but I also think that it would be useful to consult with us specifically, but also different offices around the university for CLU to create materials around Title IX or residency issues. The spelling office, the office, and being very helpful in helping us create training materials for our members who are sending information.
Then the last question, sorry. Relating to the process budget, I think about the students that we need to be monitoring. Would the training program be comprehensive in terms of educating caseworkers and other members of the issues on subjects we might be a process for us calls and create issues related to question conduct as well as training school conduct and et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to say that the reason that there are so many positions, staff positions in the office, staff, there's school directors, and then there's caseworkers, is so that there is a lot of oversight, so that people aren't doing anything that is not informed and not appropriate. I do think that there needs to be a very comprehensive framework of these research students and these issues.
Perfect, thank you. John.
Hello. I don't want to seem repetitive at all, but just how are you envisioning on improving
Great, thank you. Valentina?
I think you gave an example during the exact session, like for example, the student athletic grading, this office essentially serves as like a contact for them to reach out if they will handle the entire process. So I was just kind of wondering, since it seems like more of like a professor policy, is this something like during the training program, or is this like more of a teaching thing?
I think it's a case-by-case issue with group students. There are some things that can be handled through like professional policy that they can facilitate, but then there's other things that are in the university's code of conduct that can't really take around. When I've been contacted personally about group students, I would refer to the office of the ombudsman, which a lot of students don't know exists. And then that can work, then I can help students drop emails to the professors who just require further government grades. But I think it's important also to note that there are no guarantees in office like this to be able to resolve a solution, and I think that I would want to make that explicitly clear. That it's a point of contact, and it's an office that can help students and help navigate a university that can seem uncomfortable, but that you're not necessarily going to be able to change your DNA. Did I answer your question?
Tomas.
So you answered part of my question about basically you guys are
finding the resolution you just directed people in that thing, but then my question is, what are you doing that the Ombudsman Office doesn't already do?
So, from what I understood from students who have had contact with the Ombudsman's Office, is that they do essentially can, but sometimes it's not enough. And I think that the Ombudsman's Office is useful for some things, like previous institutions, professors, that kind of thing, but there are other offices for now that are more specific to certain kinds of issues. I also think that, as I said before, students don't really contact the Ombudsman's Office. It's not as clear as, say, the Office of Student Advocate.
Great. No one for the first speakers list. Anyone else? No? You can always raise your hand for the first. Oh! Were you on the first speakers list? No? Okay, Polina.
So I didn't have the option to be able to confidentially submit inquiries and to leave any kind of contact information that the person was comfortable submitting. I usually put on the website like an anonymous form or something along those lines where if you feel phone number, you're not necessarily able to figure out to send it but I also think it's important to cut office hours. They can see what people are coming and you don't want to say that you might the office will have to collect the information.
Moving on to the second speakers list, Masa. Outside.
So what would the training for the patient be like and how can I
sure. So I think that the training needs to be something that's integrated in collaboration with all of you and also integrated in collaboration with various offices that maybe I would say would be written. So what I mean that is similar to the types of training that students or members of the program study go through. Speak, we create format-specific information materials, do
BA for me informs students about specifically what the problems of practice are. In terms of recruiting from around campus, I think that making sure that there is a variety in who's serving as teaching workers and who's serving as staff is very important to prevention of your experience.
Seeing no one else on the speaker slip, Masa.
If the student was really, like, that issue was really stressing them out and they do express some suicidal thoughts, would be obviously the answer. Yes, that's more of an issue than, like, anything else. I think that unless you're, like, a confidential contact on campus, and just someone expresses suicidal thoughts, you're probably going to report. So unless there's some kind of exemption given for this office, I think that a caseworker would be obligated to report that.
Seeing no one else on the speakers list, Osai.
I'm going to motion to move this into business of the day.
There's been a motion to move this into business of the day. There's been a second. All in favor of moving this piece into business of the day, please raise your hand or placard. All opposed. All abstaining by a vote of 21-0-1. This has been moved into business of the day. Uche. Yeah, you too.
I am wondering, so for student advocates, I think we can get student advocates to come from a very diverse background, and I see it's from, student advocates. What can you guys make sure, like, what kind of training you could do to make sure that all of these things are.
Absolutely. So, first of all, I think it's super important that this office is diverse, is made up of all members of the community from all different backgrounds. I think that having staff that's able to personally really attend to student concerns is immensely important. And is necessary to what this idea is. But beyond that, I think that having training to make sure that students are sensitive to those issues that exist is extremely important. It needs to be incorporated into the original training process. I think working with a lot of organizations would be important in that process as well, potentially doing IEP, things like that.
Seeing no one else on the speakers list, and this is also in business of the day. There's been a motion to vote. Do you have a comment? Question? Okay. Can you rescind?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Jacob, go for it. Can you use a microphone? Just a microphone.
I'm sorry.
Please, Mariah.
I'm sorry, that was really rude. I apologize.
Oh, Lord. Go for it.
When this is unspoken, it's the it'll be university undergraduate. Okay. 11 should not be elected by the
university,
correct?
It's selected, not
elected. It's selected. There would be no election.
It would be staffed by the office of the student advocate. It would be shared. It would be shared. It would be shared.
Wonderful. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yes. No, it doesn't change our bylaws. It's establishing this organization's bylaws. There's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? Seeing a second. All in favor.
Yeah.
All opposed? All abstaining. By a vote of 21-0-1, this resolution passes. Congratulations, Liel. Next week, the Assembly will see my nomination for the Student Advocate. It's a surprise. No, I get to nominate. You all get to confirm. You can reject my nomination.
It's like the Supreme Court.
Yeah. There's a great, it's going to be a wonderful press event. Kidding. What? You all remember. Okay, wonderful. Seeing nothing else on the agenda. There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Seeing a second. All in favor?
Wait,
we adjourn.
What?
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.